At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. We come to you every Wednesday. This week's guest, Justin Parsons. Justin's been on the pod before, but we had to get him back on this week, coming off the Open Championship that Brian Harman won. JP is the coach of Brian Harman. We shared a house last week, not far from Hoylake, and it was a very, very, it was a really special experience for me. JP and I, he's one of my closest friends, and you know, someone who I have tremendous amount of respect for. And we just huddled in, we cooked, we ordered in food, and it was a really, really special week. And to see Brian Harman get it done and to see JP be part of a major championship is it's pretty special. And I hired JP, I moved to Dubai in 2008 and met him on a couple of trips, and I just, he had something, and I sent him a message. I was pretty tough on him in the beginning when he worked for me for 3 years, and then when I left and moved to the U.S., he took over the running of the academy that we had at the Els Club, and I was pretty hard on him, and there were some tough times at the beginning, but I sent him a message on Sunday night that now he knows why I was so hard on him, because I just knew that he could do what he's done, and that is become one of the best golf instructors in the world. So really excited to get an opportunity to talk to him again, and I think everybody's going to enjoy it. So sit back and enjoy listening to Justin Parsons. So Justin, your first major championship as a coach, what was it? Was it different than you thought it was going to be? And what's the last, 48 hours been like?
I think when you texted me and told me to walk around the room and keep breathing, I think that actually kind of helped, because I think at one point I was sitting tense, not breathing, which isn't, you know, as you approach our tender years, it's not a good way to be. Blood pressure spiking. So yeah, it was nerve wracking, Claude. I couldn't really relax until he got the ball into the middle of that 17th green. I think he's in too good a space to hit, to do anything silly down the last. But that 17th hole, like, you could nearly make anything there if you got something wrong off the tee and got some bad lies. And you know, you and I saw what it was like out there. It was carnage waiting to happen.
He's a very interesting player. He does so many things well, but he's never been thought of as a superstar. But if you think about it, JP, from an amateur standpoint, up until Brian Harman turned pro, he basically did everything that you would say would be the prototype to becoming a superstar on the PGA Tour and having, you know, a Hall of Fame type career based off of what he did as a junior golfer, as an amateur golfer.
Well, you know, you and your dad have always helped me with that. Like, you know, you want to see what a player is really capable of. Who did he beat when he was 14? How many people was he beating when he was 18? How was he as an amateur? What was he like in college? And as you've just said, you know, Brian was an absolute superstar, you know, really all the way through those ranks. I think that, you know, as I've gotten to know him, his inquisitive, very fast acting mind has probably done him a slight disservice, and he's had to work very hard. And you probably listened with interest to a lot of his press stuff, you know, about the process and staying in the process and things. And it was, the weird thing is, you know, Scott Tway Country and I have been, you know, gently trying to quieten the pre-show routines down a little bit, you know, adding structure to the warm-ups, doing all of the things that we know that are going to end up kind of calming the player down. And for whatever reason, at the Open Championship, he embraced all of it, and he made it, you know, like you and I talk about, he made it his idea, and he was able to execute.
I mean, I've been lucky enough to be a part of major championships with players before, and I can never put my finger, JP, on what's different about them that week. But we spend so much time around these players. We, you know, we devote so much of our lives to them. And in a lot of ways, I always say tour players sometimes are like dogs. They communicate with you non-verbally. You can see when they're in good moods. They don't have to tell you. You can see when they're in bad moods. You can see when things are off. Was there anything different about Brian last week that's been different than times when he hasn't won a big tournament?
There was definitely some sort of psychological shift. There's no question about that. You know, we'd done some things at the back end of last year to try and assist. And then Brian at the Renaissance Club started taking ice baths, which, you know, there's a lot of research and it's a very popular little thing. You know, you see people, you know, all over, from Joe Rogan to other members of the, you know, the sort of the mainstream now, you know, advising that that's a great thing for, you know, athletic recovery, getting yourself into the right headspace, being resilient. And it was weird. I said to Country on Friday after he shot that low round, I said, you know, Brian's had a bit of an aura about him the last 2 weeks. And we started discussing aura without getting too yogic. You know, he definitely started to, there was a very much more of a calmness surrounding him that was different to some of the things in the past. And we had, you know, really good conversations, a lot of humor, a Renaissance, and lots of fun on the range, really, at Liverpool too. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very hard thing to pinpoint. I'm glad that you referenced tour players as dogs and I didn't, but they're incredible people at what they do. They do things that we've always kind of in the game, you know, many of us wanted to do, and they do it at an extremely high level under the greatest of pressure. And I'm sure I'm just like you, that I'm kind of in awe of them when they're able to deliver those big performances.
You mentioned playing. I mean, you grew up wanting to be a player. Ricky, while we were flying home, I got a ride home with Brooks from Liverpool, and Ricky Elliott, who caddies for Brooks, was on the plane. And we were, when you won, we were talking about it. And he said, you know, Justin, you know, you and Ricky have known each other pretty much your whole lives. You played junior golf together, and you wanted to be a player. Did you ever envision when you were younger, growing up in Northern Ireland and playing in these amateur tournaments and playing in the rain and all the things that you have to go through in Northern Ireland, did you ever let your mind wander to one day coaching someone that wins the Open Championship and lifts a claret jug?
No, I think that probably happened a bit later. I mean, I think, I know it was never massively part of your, like, professional story. You weren't in a position where you ever really wanted to do. And I think had I been you, I think if I was around the people and the players that you were around, it would have quickly occurred to me that I wasn't good enough to do it. You know, you're growing up watching, you know, Greg Norman and Davis Love and people hit golf shots, and you're probably immediately aware that I can't do that. I mean, that's just, so I think we were a little bit in dreamland before the internet and all of the information that we have. But, you know, certainly it's a, I wouldn't say it's a, I think when you, like you said, you join a very illustrious club. Brian Harman has joined an illustrious club. To be able to be a part of a team of individuals who have assisted a player to win a major championship. I mean, there's not that many people like that around. So I can't say that it would have been a frontal kind of goal, but you know, to see it happen, it just makes it makes it even more weird. You know, Brian sent me a text last night. They left Liverpool at 3 a.m. Monday morning. They got to Paris. I think he must have texted me from the plane in Paris, and he said, "I'm afraid to go to sleep because I might wake up and it didn't happen."
Oh, that's amazing. When we were texting, I was on the plane, we were somewhere over the Atlantic, and you know, we were looking online, the internet was kind of sporadic, and Brooks was saying, you know, we were counting down the holes, and Brooks was saying, okay, if he gets through here, he's fine. And then once he made that long putt at 14, I was looking online, and I said to Brooks, I said, he just hold it from 40 feet on 14. And Brooks said, well, it's game over now. He said, because he's got two par fives coming up. And even if something disastrous happens at 17, he built such a big lead. I think one of the impressive things, JP, he slept on a 5-shot lead two nights in a row, which is very, very difficult to do. And we stayed together last week in the house and we were talking about it. And, you know, we were overdosing on curry and red wine for the week. But, you know, we talked about that and you kept asking me questions. I mean, I remember on Friday night, you were saying, you know, what's going to happen? Who's the threat? I said, listen, the big lead, it's tough. And it's a catch 22 of the big lead is great, but the big lead can go quickly and be over in two holes. And I think what was really impressive is he didn't get off to great starts either Saturday or Sunday, but as the rounds went on, he really seemed to calm down and almost play his way into good golf.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, I think the advice that you gave me on Friday night when, you know, Jeremy Elliott, who was there all week with Brian, he had texted me and said, you know, what am I going to do now with Brian until 3:30 on Saturday, which is a really late tea time. And, you know, I'm thinking, should I look up museum, or, you know, go for a walk on the beach, you know, don't do too work. And you just said to me, you know, having had experience of this, well, you've got to tell him that this is the way it is at the Open Championship. Jack Nicklaus has done it. Tiger's done it. Louis's done it. The boys that, you know, they've had that tea time and they've had to accept that this is part of what it is to be one of the few people who could even have claimed to ever get close to winning an Open Championship. And whether or not Jeremy passed on that or whether or not that they embraced it, I'll find out you later. But I thought that was great advice because you have to embrace it. You have to look at it full in the face and say, right, I'm going to take this on. And I think he did take it on and the rest of it's history. But I agree with you. You know, if anything, the brain was probably moving pretty quickly the first two or three holes. And as he got into his process and, you know, as he got through it, you know, you and I talked a wee bit about the fact that, like, his iron play has been something that we've been improving, I think, fairly steadily over 2 years. And I think Lynx golf really helps him because it makes him get on top of the golf ball and makes him drive the golf ball out a bit more and be a bit more aggressive with his strike. He's, you know, Jack Lumpkin, who was in my thoughts a lot over the weekend, you know, Jack always said, never let Brian help the ball up in the air, you know, because he's not the longest player. He doesn't hit it way up into the sky. And then mechanically, if he ever starts to try and help it up in the air, it really, you know, it puts him in a bad spot with his, you know, with his pivot and with, you know, where the golf club starts to get delivered from. And I think Lynx golf really helps him. We saw him play well at St Andrews. And, you know, he quieted himself down. I think he had that strike on it and he was deep in his process and he showed the world what he can do.
So I want to thank our partners at Rapsodo. If you've been listening since the beginning, you know I'm a massive fan of Rapsodo's mobile launch monitors. They're easy to use, extremely portable, and provide the same metrics competitors do for a fraction of the price. I've talked a lot about the MLM Pro, which I still love, and they've done it again with the recently released MLM 2 Pro. I've been using this launch monitor for a while now. I really, really like it. Here's what you're going to get. Two integrated cameras and a Doppler radar, up to three different ways to view your swing, 30,000 courses to play in the MLM 2 Pro app, as well as integration with third-party simulation software partners such as Awesome Golf and E6. Indoor and outdoor use, measured spin and spin access with the Callaway RPT ball. A sleeve is included with your purchase, and it's only $699.99. The best part is they're giving Son of a Butch listeners an exclusive discount. You can use the code CH3 on rapsodo.com for $70 off your purchase of the MLM 2 Pro, and they'll throw in a free dozen of the RPT balls to measure spin. You'll also get your first year of premium membership free. Again, that's code CH3 at rapsodo.com for $70 off the MLM 2 Pro, a year of premium membership, and a dozen RPT golf balls. You talk about the process, and we talked about that at night, you know, in the house last week. You know, I was asking you what you were trying to do. Tell us, JP, what the process that you and his caddy, Scott Tway, whose brother is Bob Tway, who won a major championship. I think, you know, Scott, everybody calls him country on tour. I think Scott's a calming influence for Brian. But what is the process? And I know that you've talked a lot about one of the keys is alignment and having consistent alignment. And in 2023, there aren't any Instagram golfer influencer people doing videos on alignment, right? They're not doing any videos on grip, posture, stance, alignment. But so much of what goes into great golf at the elite level, I think people will be surprised that a lot of times it is the basic fundamentals that you have to look after. And you talked a lot about the alignment. Talk me through what you've done with his alignment, what the tendencies were, and how you've helped him kind of create a consistent alignment.
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, it's like, you know, you and I talk about those tendencies. I mean, I've been out watching him at tournaments, watching him on practice rounds, and when he aims too far to the right, and he ends up like under turning because he's already a little restricted. He's got a very, very square trail foot, if you can imagine. So he's already restricted, under turns, has a lot of lateral movement in his downswing. Club then gets a little bit underneath and he has to kind of try and swing it out towards the target. So he loses all his kind of rotary pressure on the golf ball. I mean, that I could do all that on Instagram and people would love that. But the fact is that comes from him aiming too far to the right. So, and then
unless you fix the aim, you can work on the other stuff. And that's what I don't think a lot of people listening understand, that the domino effect of what is all the things that you talked about that everybody that's a golf nerd loves to hear, you know, lateral slide, club laying down, all of that. Those are all the effects. They're not the cause. They're not the reason why he's hitting the bad shots. The bad shots come from the alignment gets off, and then the domino effect of everything else. He has to do what he has to do. My dad is always, and you and I've said this to you a million times, you know, when we worked together back in the day in Dubai, you're never doing what you're doing in the golf swing because you want to. You're doing it because you have to do that. So the alignment, how did you get him to buy into being a consistent, you know, alignment? And there have been some great pictures on Instagram, you know, on social, to where there's a shaft for his foot line and then there's a shaft kind of in between his feet for his ball position. Was that something that you implemented and came up with?
Yeah, I think we did. I mean, we've had variations of that over the last couple of years. We've had the shaft on the ground, like you've described, a horizontal for the ball position, and another shaft just to the left of target, as it would be. And he's always having this, because his tendency would be to start it too far to the left. So as he starts it more to the right, then he starts to get a feel of getting on top of it and keeping good pressure on it. I would say that more recently, he's really doubled back onto that, right? I'm going to do that in every single session. And you see, golf alignment, I think, is extremely difficult. I think you're aiming at targets that are different distances in front of you. You're hitting golf shots with clubs that are different lengths. You're standing at different distances from the golf ball, and the golf ball's lying on the ground in front of you. So I think it's a constant training of the eyes. The best players that I've certainly worked for, I would say, have a much more acute understanding and awareness and respect for alignment than the rest of us do. And I think part of Brian's structure, part of his journey, has been to understand that. We had a really interesting little thing that happened last year at Hilton Head. He was on that eighth hole. You'd probably know it. It's like a par four. There's a hazard on the right second shot. There's a big tree. And he realized that he could kind of like close the face a little bit and stay aiming pretty square and then hit like what we'd call a pressure cut. And he hit one shot, and that one shot resulted in him playing really, really good golf for about, I'm going to say, most of the summer of last year, into the fall, because he finally understood that he didn't have to open up way to the right, in his case, to cut it. He could kind of stay pretty square and cover it and get on top of it. And, you know, he went away from it a little bit, took a lot of time off over Christmas. And then gradually we feel like we've been piecing it all together. And then, you know, the process has been really good. He uses that DST, the bendy club, which helps people kind of do the same type of thing. He gets his alignment really well structured. He uses a smart ball between his arms from time to time just to soften that early set that he has in his takeaway. And that makes him very kind of pivot driven. And, you know, he's got a really good engine when he gets it going. And, you know, you could see, like, people think he's not 6'5", but he's, you know, he's still in and around with a waterproof suit on, cruising about 167, 168 miles an hour of ball speed, which, you know, it's not what DJ can do and it's not what Rory can do, but, you know, he's hitting driver more often than a lot of other players. And he's very comfortable doing that. And when you combine that with the putting performance he put in, he was unstoppable.
142 in driving distance going into the week. He's 5'6", weighs about 150 pounds. I read and I saw some things that mentioned the fact that he hits. So there are a lot of players, you know, DJ, Rory, the bombers, you know, the big, big bombers. They can't hit driver everywhere. They're hitting, driving irons. They're hitting three woods. But I saw and noticed that he hits driver a lot. How do you feel like him hitting driver a lot plays into a strength for him?
I think it plays into a great strength for him. And I think, you know, there are golf courses that we go to through the year where we almost know that Brian has a competitive advantage with that. Like the 17th hole at Travelers, he has a competitive advantage there because he aims it down that left rough, draws it 300-ish down the middle and hits a wedge. And a lot of guys are hitting 4-iron off that tee. It does the same at Hilton Head, hits driver an awful lot more, hits driver down 4 at the Players' Championship in Sawgrass and hits a lob wedge in. A lot of guys are hitting hybrids or long irons off that tee. And
that's a big advantage if you can stand up on holes like that and hit driver where everybody else, because then if you miss, the other thing is if he's hitting driver where everyone else is hitting, you know, 3-wood iron, if he hits the fairway and they miss the fairway with a 4-iron, now they're miles back and they're hitting it out of the rough.
100%. So there is a distinct competitive advantage there. I have not, I would say that he's been a really elite level driver of the golf ball for a long, long time. You know, really since he went on tour and, you know, country lets him go with the driver. And the other thing I think with the speed, he's very rarely like one rep max speed with his driver. He's extremely versatile. He tees a lot of them low, hits little squeezers, hits some little off-speed ones. And he is positioning it. Because, you know, I know when we've worked here, you know, I've seen him do 15 in a row at about 100, between 170 and 172 ball speed. But then I'll sometimes look and he'll hit driver and it'll be a 158. But he's just probably teed it low and kind of squeezed it out there and got a little bit of run. And again, you know, he's got an advantage from that.
You mentioned the putting. He gained almost 12 strokes in strokes gained putting, 58 out of 59 from 10 feet. He mentioned that he found something in Scotland the week before, got a little training aid. What do you put down, I mean, the elite, elite putting that he put on display last week at Hoylake?
Well, he is, like he said, I would say, I remember Phil Kenyon, you know, Phil works here and Phil had a look at him and you know, Phil and I were kind of comparing notes because Phil knows that I'm going to kind of keep assuming that kind of the overall, the head coach role is such. And Phil said, look, this guy's been in top 50 in putting for 11 years. So he's a really, really good putter. So we must be mindful of that. Like we're not going into this with someone who's really maybe not very good at it and we need to make a real wholesale change. But in looking at the mechanics of it, again, a tendency similar to the full swing, aims a little too far to the right, tends to kind of hood the face on the way back, backs out of it a little bit on the way in, and kind of pushes a few putts. So the little template that he got just encouraged the correct amount of rotation for his stroke. When he gets that little bit of rotation in, he has a beautiful release on it. His head doesn't back out of it at all, and he really gets it rolling end over end. I think the greens, being those sort of flat greens, I think when you get as good a roll on it as he gets, I can imagine that, you know, you're kind of going just up against your alignment, because he's hitting the golf ball beautifully. And I think you could see a lot of his putts were hit what appeared to me to be fairly straight, and they held their line and they went in the center of the hole from various distances. And again, the links courses like that, you know, a lot of them, the burrows are very subtle. And as long as your alignment and your strike is really good, you got a chance.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
To me, one of the marks of a great putter is you never see a different putter in their bag. He's got I think it was the first of the big kind of tailor-made putters. I mean, it's a massive putter. It's a game improvement type putter, but he rolls shit out of it. And does he mess around with putters? He doesn't strike me as, I've never seen him with another putter in the bag.
He's classic. Sometimes he'll turn up with another putter, you know, and he'll putt with it for a bit. And I said, "You're going to use this?" He goes, "No, I'm just making the other one jealous for a minute."
He mentioned that on Saturday, after I think two bogeys in a row, a spectator said to him as he was walking from tee to green, or from the green to the next tee, made a comment that you don't have the stones for this. And he mentioned it in his press conference, and he said, with a smile on his face, that helped. On tour, Brian has a reputation for being a killer, of being someone that isn't out there to make friends. He's not trying to be the most liked. And I think one of his big strengths is the fact that he's mean and he likes to fight.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I think it probably stems from, he'll never be in the tallest, biggest, you know, he's an extremely accomplished athlete. If you speak to the trainers and stuff here that work with him, but, you know, people have always probably said, "Nah, you're too small to do this, or you're not going to be able to quite do this. You're not the right frame." And, you know, and he loves proving people wrong. And that guy helped him an awful lot, because as soon as, and you know, again, Country and I, like we've tried to figure out some strategies sometimes without really annoying him, you know, because you don't want to alienate a player. But how can we use that "I want to prove you wrong" mentality in a training system? You know, if we turn around to him and say, "Well, you can't do this," he could construe that as, "Well, these boys don't believe in me anymore." But with it's like a guy in the crowd like that, and he says, "Harmon, you don't have the stones for this." And Brian's just thought, "I'm going to show you who's got the stones for this." And I think that was a lovely insight into, you know, some of the things that can create and assist some of these performances. Because I saw on the Golf Channel, David Duval had a similar thing happen to him at the Open Championship that he won. Somebody said that, like, somewhere through the back nine, don't worry, Duval, you've time to throw this away. And he went, oh, I'm definitely not going to throw this away now. So it's an interesting study in psychology, that.
But he did, I mean, he's coming off of two bogeys. It's a flippant comment. The guy's probably been boozing all day. He doesn't know Brian at all. He's just a spectator, but he says something. But I thought it was, like you said, a unique insight into the way he thinks, because he said it really reset him. And that could go the other way too, right? I mean, you've just bogeyed two holes. You know, you're playing against, you're obviously not the favorite. I mean, the two favorites last week, you know, Tommy Fleetwood, and then, you know, the favorite every week is Rory McIlroy. And the press makes him the favorite every week, regardless of how he's playing. But it was an interesting insight into, he said it gave him a little reset. I've heard other players say it's kind of a wake-up call to where you go, oh, okay, now I need to focus in and really, really kind of stick to what I'm doing. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because, I mean, that's a huge turning point in a round that could have gone the other way.
Yeah, and I think the word reset is a cool way of looking at it, because I think 10 years ago, Brian might have got angered by that, but he uses the word reset, which is almost like, okay, now I need to go back to the stuff that I'm doing really well and then proceed. And that's how I'm going to show them that I'm going to be able to do this. Rather than like being really angry and being upset with it all, he just reset. And I think if he's using it in that way, I think he's beginning to use some of the fuel in the right way that he may or may not have used in the wrong way in the past.
I mean, if you look at what this could do, I mean, even though he's in his mid-30s, but I mean, if you look at the caliber of players that were on that leaderboard, you know, we talked about it, like I said, you know, when I think it was dinner Friday night, you know, I said, listen, John Rahm's going to make a run, right? He's going to make a run. I mean, he's just that good of a player. He's going to get out early. He's going to make a run. Rory was making a run. You had some elite players. And what do you think this does for Brian's confidence? I mean, he goes to third in Ryder Cup, sixth in the FedEx. He's top 10 in the world now in the world rankings, if you still believe in the world rankings. But he is now, I mean, on top of having a major championship, which he'll be a major champion for the rest of his life, this puts him in a really, really interesting position for the remainder of the year. I mean, had he been talking, had you guys on the team been talking about Ryder Cup at all? Or is that just something that out of nowhere, he goes to third and he is going to be on the plane going to Rome for the US team?
Yeah, I mean, I think we would avoid those kind of outcome-based, expectational type of conversations with Brian. He's much better. As many are better served and continuing to get into his process and do his work. I think he got so lost in it that all of those things, you know, he talked a little bit about thoughts coming to him and he was able just to go and think about something else. I'm thrilled for him. You know, he's played two Walker Cups. Like you say, he's had an unbelievable pedigree. And that was one of the things that really surprised me, that every time he looked like maybe having a wobble, he was able to resiliently move forwards. And I was also quite surprised that, you know, nobody else was able to kind of get up to the 10, 11 under mark and really get after him. Because, you know, like you said, I mean, these were the best players in the world. I thought Rory was playing, for the most part, playing very, very well. I think John Rahm's an unbelievable player. I was thrilled to see Tommy Fleetwood play so well in front of the galleries. And although I obviously had a dog in the fight, I was disappointed that he wasn't able to do anything on Sunday. And a testament to Tommy Fleetwood, one of the first things I saw when Brian was walking from the 18th to the scoring tent was Tommy putting his arm around him and congratulate him. And that's how good a human being Tommy Fleetwood is.
And the first person that he sees when he gets to scoring is Zach Johnson. I mean, obviously, he's part of the whole Sea Island crew. How important is that crew that I mean, you're at Sea Island now, but Sea Island's one of those places very similar to where I am down here in Jupiter, to where there are a ton of players. There's a bunch of people that play on tour. It has a history and a tradition of having tour players. Talk to me about Sea Island and what do you feel like all those players being in that one area, does, not only for Brian, but for all of them.
Well, I think one of the coolest things that, they do is that they are friends. They hang out and they're extremely competitive. And I frankly, I'd find that quite difficult. Like if that was me, you know, and they pull for one another whenever they see things like what Brian's doing, you know, coming to fruition. And they also, you know, they also are inwardly wanting to win at all costs. And I think it's a very, very healthy thing. You know, I see Patton and Harris and Brian, you know, they'll play some practice rounds together and they'll have some fun together. But at the same time, you know, once the gloves come off, they want to win. And you know, they're doing a nice job here. Obviously, the performance center is incredible. I think the varied weather that we get down here is helpful for them. We got some really, really good variants in our golf courses, Ocean Forest, Frederica, and the three courses here at Sea Island. So I think it's you know, it's a kind of a cool project to be a part of. I go down to Florida a bit, as you know, to see Gracie and those sorts of guys, and I get a sort of a similar feel sometimes at the Bears Club. I think there's, you know, there's some cool stuff going on. I don't know whether you guys all see one another as much as we would here with, you know, there's not that many, you know, restaurants and bits and pieces. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that see one another socially here too. But, you know, it's pretty cool with the performance center, Randy and Tom doing the fitness stuff, Phil coming in and out with his putting work. You know, we've got a really good backbone here for people to get better when they're at home.
You know, JP, one of the things that I love about you as a coach is that, you don't have a method. You don't have a theory. You don't have a swing that you're trying to teach everyone. You work with players of all different shapes and sizes that hit the ball very, very different. Is that by design? Is that something that was important to you to kind of see the player as an individual, as opposed to saying, okay, I'm going to have my ideas and I'm going to put them on the players that come to work with me?
Well, you know, without being dogmatic, I can't really think that there is any other way to do it. I can't understand how we could ever treat two or five or eight individuals in the same way and expect to get the same results. So, you know, for me, it's you know, I absolutely understand the question. I think it's an excellent question, but I don't really understand how it could be done any other way, because all these people, like, you know, and you and I are in the same boat with that. They're all so different. They've learned different things. They've had different parents. They've grown up playing different sports. They see out of different eyes. They're different. You know, they're left-handed, right-handed. Their bodies are different. Their brains are different. So, you know, for me, it just doesn't make any sense to do it any other way than to sit down with each person as an individual. And, you know, I think I would have learned an awful lot of that through, you know, what your family do and how they've seen golf and helped people to play better golf. And they're, you know, I think it's your dad always said, we're not, you know, we're here to teach. We're teach people to play golf. We're not teaching golf to people. So, you know, the human being always kind of comes first for me.
You made a big decision. You know, you and I worked together. I moved to Dubai in 2008. I think I hired you in the summer. Easily one of the smartest and best decisions that I ever made was hiring you to be on my team. And I lived in Dubai for 3 years. You ran our academy there. You can get really comfortable in Dubai. It's a great place to live. It's an easy place to live. The decision when I remember you called me and said there was an opportunity for you to go to Sea Island and you were a bit hesitant, you know, young kids, young family, you know, great lifestyle. Obviously it worked out, but you know, changes are tough to make. That process of saying, okay, I'm going to pick up my family and move from Dubai and move to America. Talk me through the process at South Georgia. I mean, I keep telling you, if you get a pickup truck and wear the pinpoint belt and start hunting, you and I aren't going to be friends anymore. You know what I mean? But it must have been a big decision. I mean, I've done it. I mean, a lot of people have. But it's a daunting decision to move to another country and hope it's all going to work out.
Yeah, I mean, the guys that, having done some research about Sea Island, you know, it's a very, very classy organization. They're not going to entertain hiring someone without really wanting them to be a part of the kind of the family here. And they've been, you know, they've been absolutely unbelievable. I, I always thought of Dubai as really more of a young man or young woman's town. You know, I think it's a fabulous place to be. You know, Claude, it's fast. It's ever changing. People move in and out of different positions. So as a father of two kids at that point who were, you know, Molly was maybe seven or so, or six, and Henry was three or four, you know, something like that. I'm thinking to myself, like, Dubai is, it's a brilliant place, but it's also, it can be quite transient and things can move pretty fast. You know, the goalposts can shift a bit. So I think I saw some stability in pursuing something different. I was also traveling, as you know, I was helping Peter Uhlein, Louis Oosthuizen, Charles Schwartzel at the time. And, you know, again, as a youngish father going from Dubai to LA and Dubai to Fort Lauderdale. And I remember pitching up at your house and, you know, at 7 in the evening and falling asleep on your couch at about 8:15, you know, it's a hard lifestyle out trying to travel like that. So it was becoming clear to me that I either embrace the role of trying to teach some of the better players in the world or kind of stay put somewhere a little bit more. And, you know, I felt like I still really wanted to do that. And I'm still very passionate about doing that. And, you know, Sea Island's given me the chance to kind of do a little bit of both, you know, be able to, you know, do some teaching here when I'm at home, you know, a pretty quick flight from Jacksonville to Atlanta or Brunswick to Atlanta to get to most of the tour venues that we go to. And, you know, a beautiful environment here for kids to grow up in. You know, the island's beautiful. They've got some independence. They've got some good friends that they run around with, and they're in and out of swimming pools. And so, yeah, so far, so good.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Obviously, there's a long list of major champions to come out of Northern Ireland, but you're now part of that fabric of major championships as well. I think every country needs role models for young instructors. And I think you may not have thought of this, but there'll be someone that's teaching on a driving range in, you know, Bangor or, you know, somewhere where it's not great, where the weather's not good, where the ranges aren't good, that will see, you know, Justin Parsons, who's from Hollywood Golf Club, has worked with a major champion. Have you let your mind think about, you know, what that means from, you know, a Northern Ireland standpoint?
And I don't know, a little bit. I mean, I think like, you know, you and I have talked about, it's nice to consider that you could use some of the achievements that you've had and players have had to try to give a bit back. I think you get to, again, to our sort of stage where, you know, and I know you do some of this with, you know, with your broadcasting and things like that, but to give a bit back and to try and help some people along the way. The amount of text messages and WhatsApps and stuff on Instagram and things that I've got, it's really quite humbling to consider that you're in that kind of group of people who are thought of in that way. So, you know, as I sort of process it and try and figure some stuff out, I would like to try and arrange how to give a bit back with people. And you know, like, I was very fortunate to become a part of your family and be trained and taught and helped by the first family of golf instruction. I mean, and some of those boys and girls back there doing that won't maybe have that chance, but maybe if I can give a wee bit back to them and help them on the way, I would like to do that.
Has my dad messaged you?
Multiple times, yes. he was very excited. He's been amazing to me. His approach with treating the human being, he's like a chameleon, as you've seen many more times than I have. His ability to communicate with each and every individual in a slightly more nuanced and different way, belittles his rogue Americanisms sometimes. And I remember seeing him teach, people who were kind of religious and good living, and all of a sudden he'd be like a pastor or a preacher, and then you'd have some of the boys who like to gamble and go to Vegas for other reasons, and all of a sudden he'd turn into the frat boy again. And I was always in great admiration for the guy who I think is probably the best that there's ever been at what we do.
JP, you left on Saturday. You had a player who's had a 5-shot lead going into Saturday. You had a player that had a 5-shot lead going into Sunday, and you chose to go home. It was your daughter's 11th birthday. And I got to be honest with you. I was surprised you took off. Not because I think you could have affected the outcome, but because I've been lucky enough to be a part of players winning major championships before, and it is a very unique thing. But you said something that has really stuck with me. You said, listen, my daughter's 11. Before she goes away to college, how many more birthdays am I going to be a part of? And I think it's a testament to the type of person you are that you could have easily stayed and been standing on the 18th green and give Brian a big hug and been a part of it and seen it up close. But you chose to get on an airplane Saturday and go home. That was a strange one for me. As much as I wanted you to be there for Molly's birthday, selfishly from a professional standpoint, I wanted you to be there to be a part of it.
Well, I thought of, like, she's not quite at an age where she understands the gravity of what happened on Sunday from a professional perspective. But, and at some point she will be at an age where she realizes that I came home.
And that's the balance, right? I mean, the balance in what we do is trying to balance, the players, the travel, and then the work life. And I think, out of all the people that are currently doing it, what we do, I think you do an amazing job at trying to balance all of it very well. Cause I'm terrible at it. I'm not good at the work-life balance, that's for sure.
Well, and the caveat in there, I've got to say this, is we finished off that little putting session on Friday, and I gave Brian a high five, and I said, I held onto his hand, and I said, I'm out of here tomorrow unless you need me. And he said, no, go home. You're doing that birthday party, aren't you? I went, yeah. He said, no, I've got it from here. Don't worry about it. And had he said, JP, this is a big week, I'd love you to stay and hang out, I'd be the first one on Delta to put that to Monday. But he did, and I checked with him, and if he had needed me, I would have been there for him, and I'd have probably ended up having to buy Molly a horse or something like that. But, and that's the way that I wanted it to be. So if he didn't need me, I'm sticking to plan A.
Well, it was lonely in the house on Saturday night. The curry and the red wine didn't taste as good. But honestly, mate, I mean, you and I you're the brother I never had. And, I never had a brother. And, I've learned an enormous amount from you. And you've been such a stabilizing and positive person in my life. And, I certainly wouldn't be where I am today without you and all your help. So I'm proud of you. And
think if we hadn't met, I think at some point a situation in a Dubai bank probably would have taken you into some sort of jail for a couple of years. But I tried to calm. For those of you who don't know the story, Claude was asked to sign, I think you were asked to sign 52 checks.
Yeah, when you buy a car in Dubai, you have to you're making payments and you have to sign a check for each one.
They probably have modernized that since 2008 or 2009. So forgive us for, but they do, and they put it in a safety deposit box. So you got 52 checks from the bank.
And I specifically asked, you went with me when I was buying the car, and I said, do I need more checks? Because I have to go to the bank to get more checks. And they said, nope, 52. So we went to the bank, we got the 52 checks, and we went back in, signed all 52 of them. And then they said, and now you need one more check for the total value of the car. So now we had to go back to Dubai. We had to go back to Emirates Mall. And
Emirates MBD, isn't it? Emirates.
Yep.
And I thought you were going to have a problem with Mr. Mohammed. What was it, Mohammed Sharif? I think his name might have been, or something like this.
Well, when he told me I wasn't signing my name, my signature, he said you're signing your name improperly, and and you put your hand on my shoulder and said, "Breathe, breathe, breathe."
I did for you what you did for me on Sunday, so we're even there. But no, I appreciate all that and love and support, Claude. We've had a good old run on it, and it's special for me to do this and have a talk with you.
Well, I can't tell you how proud I am of you. I love you, and you are one of the best in the world at what you do. And this certainly isn't going to be the last major you're going to be involved with. So, thanks for coming back on and talking to us. And enjoy it. You're going to see Brian when, hopefully?
Brian's going to fly back on Friday. He went to Syracuse, which was the plan to see his family. You know, Kelly and the kids have been up there for a week or so. So I would imagine that he'll probably need a little bit of rest, which he may or may not get with his three beautiful young children. But he'll be back here Friday. I have no idea. I don't even know whether he's going to play Wyndham yet.
Sure as hell doesn't need to.
He does not need to anymore, no. But you know what these guys are like. Maybe that was on the schedule, and there were things going on. But you know, we're probably looking forward to the playoffs. The Ryder Cup will be decided when it's decided. But I do hope that he earns a place there, and it'd be nice for him to maintain that sort of top six thing.
He's third on the list with two events left. he can't fall.
Let's hope not.
He is going to be on the team in Rome. You don't have anything to worry about. Enjoy drinking out of the claret jug. I got to do it once with Ernie Els, and it's pretty special. And make sure you pour something in there that's good.
You're the man. Thanks, CH.
So that was Justin Parsons. And like I said, he's a hell of an instructor, but he's a better person. I don't know that there are many instructors with a player trying to win their first major as a player, and as a coach, having a player win their first major. Not a lot of people would fly home, but he flew home for his daughter's birthday. And I think that says a hell of a lot about him as a human being. And he is one of the good ones. And I am so, so proud of him. Proud to call him a friend, and proud to watch all the work that he does. So the majors, 2023 in the books: Jon Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Wyndham Clark, and now Brian Harman. And don't think a lot of people would have picked him, but early in the week, it just had... I've seen Brian Harman play well before. He took the lead into Erin Hills in 2017 when Brooks Koepka won, when I was working with Brooks in 2017. And I had a friend from the U.S. say, hey, give me a dark horse pick that nobody's looking at. And this was on Wednesday. I said, bet him, Brian Harman. And he was like, what? I said, Brian Harman. It's the perfect kind of golf course for him. And I mentioned in one of the practice rounds to Brooks that I was staying with JP that week. And I said, this is a good golf course for Brian Harman. And BK said, yeah, I mean, this is perfect golf course for the type of golf that he plays. And it turned out to be true. So that's the 2023 major championships in the books. 2 weeks left on the PGA Tour. We got Ryder Cup coming up. Liv still has a bunch of events, and then the fall series. So we'll see what this does for Brian Harman and his career. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you all next week.
Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.